Take your Bibles, go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. Let me ask you a question. What on earth are you doing, for heaven's sake? What on earth are you doing, for heaven's sake? It's going to be our thought this morning. Are you doing anything with your life that will last forever? Will there be any memorials of your life's work that will stand? We're going to look at a woman today who did something that became a memorial for her and has lasted now for 2,000 years. We're still talking about it. If you'd like to stand to honor God's words, you may do so. We're going to read chapter 14 of Mark, verses 1 through 9. It says, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might take him, Jesus, by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an ointment box or an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. There were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She's come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial for her. We just fulfilled that, didn't we? 2,000 years later, we're still thinking about this. Let's pray. Father, pray that you would bless the reading of your word, the preaching of your word today. Lord, help us to understand that thou art worthy. You're worthy of our time, our talents, our treasures. We're here today to lift up the name of Jesus Christ in worship. It's in that name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. These are the closing days of the life of the Lord Jesus. He is at Bethany in the house of Simon for a supper. This was a man that he had healed from leprosy. And during this time, a woman comes in with a box of very expensive ointment and just pours it all out upon the Lord Jesus. In John's account, he says she first poured it on his feet and wiped them with the hair of her head. And he tells us that this was actually Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. It was Mary that did this. Let's think about this today. I want to divide the story into three parts. If you want to take notes first, let's look at the lady's devotion. The lady's devotion here is noticed. And I want you to see the humble expression of her devotion. Mary was very expressive in how she wanted to show her love and care for the Lord Jesus. Go to Luke chapter 10 with me. There's another account of this family, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, in Luke chapter 10. And if you look at verse 38, this family also would host Jesus at times in their home. So it came to pass as they went, they entered to a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and she came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her to help me. Mary, get up and help me. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So you see how the sisters, Mary and Martha, were really different one from another. Here's Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him teach the word of God, while Martha is very busy serving her guests. Now, there's women like that today. You know, we might have a church dinner, and we've got the Mary sitting in here listening to me preach. The Marthas, they want to stay home and cook something to bring to the dinner. They think that's more important. And yeah, Martha was a perfect hostess. She probably had every issue of Better Homes and Garden. She was just that way. People always brag about her dinner parties. Now, we've got some ladies. Baptist ladies are known for the cooking. Amen. I don't know why, but Baptist ladies just know how to cook. You've heard the story about the teacher who asked her students to bring something to class that represents their faith. So they all came the next day, and one by one they stood up, and one said, I'm a Catholic, and this is a crucifix. Another said, I'm a Jew, this is a Star of David. Little boy got up and said, I'm a Baptist, and this is a casserole. That's what represents the Baptist faith. But here's Mary and Martha. Now, Mary's interests are different. Now, Martha was your typical Baptist, but Mary's a Baptist also. Said, Brother West, how do you know they were Baptists? Well, they were all Baptists back then. Right? Who baptized them? John the Baptist. Amen. Even Jesus was a Baptist. He was baptized by John. So, just a little extra I wanted to throw in. But here's Mary and Martha. And they're different. Mary's more concerned about her spiritual condition than I think Martha was. While Mary's sitting and learning more about the Lamb of God, Martha's back there cooking some lamb chops. And she knows the secret to making really good lamb chops, but Mary wants to know the secret of the Lamb of God and his perfection. And here's Mary, who maybe thinks more about the outward appearance. And then that's Martha, and then there's Mary, who thinks about the inward condition of the soul. So we do have Marys and Marthas in our church today. Some of you may endure sound preaching. Some of you actually enjoy sound preaching. There's a difference, isn't there? Let's note the hefty expense of her devotion. Think about what she did here. The ointment she poured out on Jesus was very costly. Could have been sold for more than 300 pence. Now, to understand this, 1 pence was a day's wages back then. 300 pence would be a year's wages. That's what she spent on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the kind of devotion she has for Christ. Very expensive gift. But what did Jesus say? He just said, she has done what she could. She has just done what she could. Now, we need to ask ourselves, do we do what we can for the Lord Jesus? Are we doing what we can? Are we giving what we can? Now, God doesn't expect you to give more than you can, but he does expect you to give what you can. Amen. Reminds me of King David. He wanted to buy some property and build an altar to offer up sacrifices to steal a plague in the land. So he found this property, and the owner said, well, King, I'll just give it to you as a gift. You don't have to buy it. What did David say? He said in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 24, he said, no, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which costs me nothing. It's going to have to cost us something to serve the Lord. Amen? That's the attitude we ought to have. We ought to give our best to the Master. Do you believe that? Hey, does Jesus expect us to give our best? We read about the disciples, they forsook all to follow Jesus. That's what we need to do. Hey, don't worry about what others are doing. Don't worry about what others are giving. That's none of our business, is it? Tell you what, look at the person to your right and the person to your left and tell yourself, it's not my business what they're doing, what they give. Will you do that? Just right and left. Oh, by the way, they say that only one out of three people are good looking. Now, look, if it's not that person to your right or to your left, it must be you. Amen. You're the good looking one. Thirdly, I want you to see the holy extravagance of her devotion to Christ. What's this anointing all about? Back then it was customary. When you entered a house, the host would have his servants to anoint you with some fragrance to kind of refresh you from your travels. Now, they would wash your feet because back then they wore sandals and the roads were dusty. You would come into a house and the servant would wash your feet and anoint you with a fragrance. Now, they would just use a few drops to do that. Here comes Mary. She opens this alabaster box and just pours the whole thing on the Lord Jesus. Very extravagant in what she did. Hey, folks, the greater your love for Christ, the greater will be your giving to Christ. Amen? And God will provide what he wants you to give. You know, it blesses me that we have Faith Promise Missions here. We have Faith Promise Mission partners that each year pledge to give so much to missions each month. And some of you amaze me by the generosity of your pledges. And it just blesses my heart to see that. By the way, if we have any visitors here, if you're looking for a mission-minded church, this is one. This is a mission-minded church. We support 81 mission fields from pledges of $14,535 a month. I checked it out. That's an average of $180 per month per missionary. Now, we're not just sending them $5, $10. These are very good support that we provide for missionaries. And it's just, I'm proud to be a pastor of such a mission-minded church. But many are not willing to give like that. Many are content to be underachievers. And they even kind of get upset when you point it out in a sermon like this. I heard about a certain guy in a church who went to the pastor and said, "Brother, I just noticed 5 brand new brooms in the closet." Somebody went out and bought 5 new brooms with the church's money. He said, "That is such a waste. We don't need 5 brooms." He was really upset about it. The pastor was trying to calm him down and said, "Well, I don't know, maybe there was a sale on brooms. I'm not sure what happened, but calm down. Don't get so upset." Later on, the pastor told the treasurer about this. The treasurer said, "Well, Pastor, I can understand why he was upset. How would you feel if you saw all you had given for the entire year tied up in 5 brooms?" Amen. You know, if I didn't give anything to the church, I wouldn't even vote on what we're spending it on, let alone make motions about it. Amen. But I'm glad we've got some good givers here. We've got a very, very generous church. Here's the second thought I want you to think about. Not only the lady's devotion is noticed, but the livid denunciation is noted. She was denounced for what she did. And it shows the mentality that's revealed here on those who denounced Mary for what she did. They criticized her for being too extravagant. And by the way, who's criticizing her? It's not the lost world, it's her fellow believers. Fellow believers are criticizing her for giving too much to the Lord. By the way, if you're going to please God, you're going to have to ignore what others say. Just ignore that. You may get criticized by fellow church members for what you're doing for Christ. But just ignore that and go ahead and serve the Lord. By the way, we would expect this reaction from the world. We would expect the world to criticize this kind of giving to the Lord. They think that's wasteful to spend that kind of money. But it's not. It's very wise to give to the cause of Christ. But there are some people that have this attitude, well, the church is just after my money. They're just after my money. By the way, it's not your money. It all belongs to God. Everything belongs to our Creator. Whatever you've got, you've been given by Him to take care of. You're just a steward of what belongs to God. So it's not yours. You ought to give back in love and devotion for all that God has done for you. I know some of you say, well, I just can't afford to tithe. No, they can afford to make car payments. They can afford to make house payments. They can afford to spend money on a hobby. Right? Sometimes these cities will spend millions of dollars to build a sports arena or stadium or some kind of a public building. And they say that's a wise investment of our money. But you talk about building a new church, and these same people say, oh, what a waste. We don't need another church in this town. Now, we understand the world thinks that way. But believers should not. Believers should not have that kind of an attitude. I mentioned King David. David wanted to build a temple. I remember back then they had the tabernacle, a tent. And the Ark of the Covenant and all the holy vessels were kept in a tent. David's living in a palace. And he thought, you know, this is not right. Here I am, I've got this beautiful palace, and the Lord's house is that crummy old tent. So he wants to build a temple unto his God, right? And God was pleased with that. And God said, now, David, I don't want you spending and wasting good money building me anything fancy. Just build me a little cabin in the corner over here. Just a cheap little shanty. Use secondhand material. Cut costs whenever you can. Is that right? No. Folks, the temple was extravagant. Just about everything was overlaid with pure gold. To build Solomon's temple today would take hundreds of millions of dollars to rebuild Solomon's temple. But some church members will fuss and gripe about spending money on church building. They don't mind having a nice home of their own. That's a wise investment. But they don't think it's a wise investment to give that to the Lord's work. Now, somebody's thinking, well, Brother Wes, you've got to run people off preaching like that. Well, if we run off some stingy people, we'll just have more room. Amen. But, folks, the waste is not what you give to the Lord. It would be a waste for Mary to have done anything else with that ointment than to give it to her Lord and Savior. You believe that? Real savings is the treasure you lay up in heaven where moss nor rust doth corrupt. You ever heard of C.T. Studd? He was a rich man, very wealthy man from a very wealthy family. God called him to be a foreign missionary. C.T. Studd gave away his fortune to the cause of Christ. Gave it all away to the cause of Christ. And entered as a missionary dependent upon the support of God's churches. He was very criticized for doing that. How foolish that was. But listen, what he gave was not wasted. is waiting for him in heaven. Amen? Everything you give is going to be waiting for you in heaven. You're not wasting anything. Another missionary, Jim Elliot, is famous for this quote. He said, he's no fool who gives what he cannot keep here to gain what he cannot lose there. Amen. So there's the mentality you see here, and also the carnality. Note the carnality that's revealed. Now, these disciples sound so sanctimonious, talking about we could have taken this money and given it to the poor. By the way, it was Judas Iscariot that led out in this protest. John mentions that in John chapter 12, verse 6. He says, Jude said this, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had to bag and bear what was put therein. He was the church treasurer. And he kept the money that was given. And evidently later John says he's a thief. They found out later he was embezzling some of that money for his own work. He wanted that money in his bag so he could control it. By the way, who do you think would be more concerned about the poor folks, Mary or Judas? Imagine it'd be Mary, don't you? Imagine it'd be Mary who cared more about others. Think about waste. Waste is measured by worth. Now, if Jesus is not worth much to you, then you can consider anything you give to him to be maybe a waste, your time, your treasures, whatever. See, it all depends on how you view Jesus. What is the Lord Jesus Christ worth to you? Did you know the word worth and the word worship come from the same root word? Now think about that. We worship what we consider worthy. Right? It's all about worthship of someone. Your worship is going to depend upon what you think Jesus is worth. Some evidently didn't think he was worth getting out of bed this morning to come to church. Amen. Just too much trouble. Get out of bed and go to church. Jesus is not worth that. Some may think he's not worth coming back to church tonight. It's not worth that much time and trouble. It's like the patient in a hospital. He was skipping up and down the halls. The nurses could not control him. They called his doctor. And the doctor said, man, what's the matter with you? The patient said, well, I'm just doing what you said, doc. You gave me some pills and you said take them for 2 days and then skip the third day. This is my day to skip. Skipping up and down the halls. Well, I think some people are that way about worship. They may come 2 Sundays and skip the third. But I hope this year that we are the worth of Christ will be seen in our worship. Amen. What about Judas? You know, Jesus called Judas in John 17, 12. He called him the son of perdition. There's something interesting. Do you know the word perdition is the same word translated waste in our text? Very same word. Judas looked at what Mary did as being a waste. Now Jesus says, Judas, you're a waste. You're a son of perdition. You're a son of waste. Your life is being wasted. You're wasting opportunities that are coming your way. See, Judas, he chose to serve mammon rather than God. Right after this, he goes out and betrays Jesus. The enemies of Christ dangle 30 pieces of silver before Judas. He takes that money to betray the Lord Jesus. He was a son of perdition. What opportunities Judas wasted in his life because he was covetous. There's a song about this. It's called Wasted Years. Wasted years, oh how foolish. It goes on to say, turn around. Turn around. God is calling. He's calling you from a life of wasted years. Very convicting, isn't it? But listen, you're never wasting anything, whether it be time or talent or treasure. You're not wasting that by giving it to the Lord. I think if Mary had done anything else with this ointment, it probably would have been wasted. She did the best with it. She gave it to the Lord. Third thing I want you to see is the Lord's declaration is notable here. What did the Lord say about this? He knows, first of all, the loving nature of her deed. He praised her, didn't he? He praised her. He defended her. You might ask, Lord, preacher, why did Mary do this? What caused her to take this act? Well, keep in mind, this is just a few days after Jesus raised her brother from the dead. Just a few days later, she does this. I think this was an act of love and appreciation for what Jesus had done in raising her brother from the dead. I think there's something more to this. Jesus said something there in verse 8 that's interesting. She had done what she could. She had come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Now keep in mind that the apostles were slow to understand this. Jesus, time and time again, said, I must die and be buried, and I'll raise the third day. But for some reason, the apostles had a hard time understanding that. But Mary understood it. Mary realized it was about that time for Jesus to give his life and be buried. She was to anoint his body while he could still enjoy it and appreciate it. She didn't want to wait till after he was dead to do it. She wanted to do it while he was still living. Had she waited a week, it would have been too late. See, a week later, some women went to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. And the body was gone. The tomb was empty. It was too late. Mary anointed the body while there was time. She didn't wait until it was too late. There's a good lesson there for all of us, isn't there? Hey, don't wait until it's too late to do something for Christ. Do it now. Today's the day of opportunity. Today's the opportunity to serve the Lord and to show your love and appreciation for Him. Tomorrow may be too late. You may die before tomorrow. The Lord may come. But one day, it's going to be too late to give. Some of you are waiting. You're going to give later when you can maybe more afford it. Might be too late to give. May be too late to pray. One day it's going to be too late to witness. One day it's going to be too late to get baptized. Right? Too late to join a New Testament church. That opportunity is past. Lost friend, it may be one day it'll be too late for you to get saved. Too late. Today's the day of opportunity. Don't waste today. Do it while you can. So you see the loving nature of her deed. Then I want you to note the lasting nature of her deed. What she did is going to last forever. Jesus said this act of Mary would live on throughout the passing of time. He said this story is going to be retold over and over again. And we fulfilled that today, haven't we? We've retold her story once more. Hey, are you doing anything in your life that's going to be remembered after you're gone? What on earth are you doing, for heaven's sake? Are you doing anything? Have you given your life to the Lord Jesus? He gave his life for you. He wants you to give your life to him. And if you will do so, he'll turn it into everlasting life. That's quite a deal, isn't it? Have you given back to him in faithful service? What are you going to do with this year, 2023? Have you decided I'm going to be more faithful this year? I'm going to give back more to the Lord than I did last year. He's worthy. He's worthy. He deserves it. Are you doing what you can? If you don't, you're going to waste it. You're going to waste this year. You know, there's a library in heaven. I read about certain books in heaven. There's the Lamb's Book of Life. You've heard about that? In the Lamb's Book of Life, everybody gets saved. Their name is entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. That's going to be in heaven. The 66 books, we've got the Word of God that's going to be settled in heaven forever. So the Word of God's there. There's another book. Maybe you haven't heard about this one. You ever heard about the Book of Remembrance? So where's that at? Well, look over in Malachi chapter 3. I think it's kind of interesting. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, talking to one another about the Lord and his goodness. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name." God's going to write down what we do for him. He's going to keep a book. Kind of goes along with Hebrews 6:10. Because there it says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. See, in church capacity, what do we do? We're ministering to one another. Ministering to the saints. And God said, I'm not going to forget that. I'm going to write that down in my book of remembrance. I'm going to write down Chris Hill sang a special on January 8th, 2023. And that special told us to look to Jesus. I'm going to remember that, Chris. I'm going to remember these ushers who came and received the offering. I'm going to remember the greeters at the door greeting those who come. I'm going to remember you Sunday school teachers and what you're doing. Amen? I'm not going to forget your labor of love. What are you doing? Are you doing what you can for the Lord? He doesn't expect you to do more than you can, but he does expect you to do what you can. Amen? The Bible says on judgment day, the books will be open. God's going to open his library. First, you've got to look to see if your name's been written in the book of life. He's going to look to see how well you obeyed his word. He's going to look at his book of remembrance to note what you've done in his name. All that you've given, your time, your talents, your treasures, it's all being written down. What's he going to say about you? What's he going to say about you? The life you've lived here on earth. What do you think about what Mary did? What do you think about it? Would you be right there with Judas and say, boy, that's a waste. Can't believe she wasted all that precious ointment on Jesus. Do you think Mary in heaven today regrets doing that? You think Mary looks back and says, boy, I don't know what I was thinking. What came over me that I wasted all that ointment on Jesus? Now, she didn't regret it. Not at all. And you won't regret what you've done for Christ when you stand before him. See, as your pastor, here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help you. I don't want you to stand before Jesus ashamed. Ashamed of a wasted life. Ashamed of wasted opportunities. I want Jesus to look at you and look at that book of remembrance and note all the things you did for him and say, well done, good and faithful servant. As your pastor, I want to hear every one of you stand before Christ and hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. You didn't waste your life in sin and selfishness. You gave your life to me, to serve me. Or will it be on that day? Or do you think about what Mary did? Folks, there's going to be regrets on that day. Regrets of a wasted life. But I want you to be like Mary. This coming year, I want you to be extravagant in your giving. Not just giving your money, but giving your time. Giving your talents. Be extravagant. And this may be our last year on earth, folks. I seriously believe the coming of Christ is at hand. This is a Shemitah year. Many think something's going to happen this year. This is our last year. How are we going to spend our last year on earth? Let's be extravagant in our giving to Christ this year. As we stand together, we prepare for a hymn of invitation. Let me say to you that might be lost here. I'll remind you, lost friend, one day it's going to be too late to get saved. One day it's going to be too late to get saved. You know, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. God's ready for you to come to him. God's ready. He's inviting you to come. Are you ready? Are you ready to come to the Lord today and give your life to him? Trust in him for your salvation. Don't do what Judas did. Judas wasted many opportunities to get saved. Judas died and went to hell. He wasted his life. He wasted his opportunities. Don't do that. Don't do that. Come to Christ today and be saved. Some of you, maybe you need to come submit to water baptism. You need to identify with Christ and his church through the waters of baptism. We're going to invite you to come. Present yourself. Some of you might need to put your membership in this church. You got a new year ahead of you. You need a church home. You need a place where you can serve the Lord and be part of the work. Like Moses said, I'm going to say to you, come thou with us, we will do thee good. Come thou with us, we will do thee good.